Joined by Emily Lind. She is the Youth Grant Programs Coordinator for AeroLeaf. AeroLeaf, you may remember, been a recent change in name for the Family Counseling Center. Got a new name. Emily, first off, morning, ma'am. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Tom?
Good. You know, in some ways, the interview, the way we're doing it, has a lot to do with online learning because I can't see you and you can't see me. And there's a lot of communication that goes on by being in a group, in a social group, you know, when it comes to online learning. Because I would assume you've heard the same thing I've heard. I have heard a lot of frustration from parents. But at the same time, I met a young lady on Monday this week who was like, she just loves online learning. She thinks it's great. She just finished her class, and I stopped by to meet with her caregivers, and she thought it was great, loved it.
Yeah, I think I've heard a lot of mixed reviews. I think for those kids, I feel like a lot of the older kids that we have, you know, 15, 16, 17, they're kind of enjoying the flexibility because we have a lot of kids that are trying to focus on applying for college and working. And so some of the flexibility that they have, you know, being of age and being able to be home without their parents, those students, I feel like I've kind of heard that that has been maybe a little bit more relaxing for them because they can kind of go at it on their own pace. But I think more of the frustrations that I've heard have been from families that have kids that can't stay home while the guardians or the parents are at work. And so that has been a little bit more frustration, especially when you've got kids who are in multiple grades in the home. And so you're teaching and making sure that they're staying on top of their homework across various grades. That can be a little bit more difficult.
It's interesting because when I was talking to the young lady about school, when she goes to school, she smiles bigger. There's a social aspect she likes. But at the same time, we're talking about online learning. And in the background, her mom is shaking her head. Right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
And what's interesting about this, and we have to understand this, maybe it's so remedial I shouldn't even mention it. We know what school is. You show up at 8:15, 8 o'clock, you walk into the classroom, you sit at your desk, the teacher's at the front of the class, and you're at school. Mm-hmm. The fact is, so many of the problems we are having right now is simply because we haven't done it before.
Yeah. I know I was in a school meeting with one of our local school districts on Thursday last week, and usually in this meeting we're kind of talking about what are some issues that the students are facing right now as far as behavior problems. Is there anything that they need help with? And kind of the overwhelming statement was that these kids are on their best behavior right now if they're in school because they want to be there and they have been doing the best that they can to ensure that I get to stay in school. If I'm enrolled as a full-time in-person student, they want to be there. So I thought that was really interesting that the school district was reporting a really big decrease in behavior issues between the students. There have been some concerns that, you know, some of those students who have switched to be remote learners or hybrid learners, just being able to access them, sometimes they're not logging on, and they were kind of talking about they've been doing some door-to-door check-ins to make sure that the kids who aren't signing on for attendance are actually engaged. And one of the truancy officers mentioned when they did a door-to-door, the dad was like, "What do you mean my kid's not signing attendance? He's on there every day." And so then some of the stress of that, you know, putting that reliability back on the students to just click, "Hey, I'm logged on," and the parents maybe not knowing all those steps. And so a little bit of frustration of what are all the things that go involved with ensuring that you are in attendance and marked so by the school district.
And you know what's interesting, because this I have heard about, more than one parent has brought this to my attention, that they were pretty ticked off about it because they'd gone to so much effort to ensure they had a learning space, computer, and the bandwidth, because they had multiple students in their home, because they hadn't finished some type of homework, it had been listed as not attending.
And that really
ticked them off to no end that, you know, they'd done all this work and then, you know, have this attendance issue. I'm curious, when it comes to the mechanics of online learning, is there a standard when it comes to, are most people using Zoom for these? Because I've read a lot about Zoom, but is that what they're using here in Southern Illinois?
Some of the schools that I know, they are using Zoom. So one of the programs that I have, we actually provided like an in-class personality assessment to the students, and they use Google Classroom, and we had a lot of issues with getting the students who were remote learners to be able to actively participate through that platform. So we actually had to schedule it yesterday. We re-met with those students who were remote learners through Zoom so that we could complete that course with them. I know that at least some of the school districts, what they do is a lot of these students have Chromebooks, and so they've got their Chromebook opened while they're in class in person or at home, and so that way the remote learners can access kind of the class live with the students who are in school. I'm not sure if they're using Zoom or Google Hangout or anything in particular with that, but I know that's been a discussion, is that the school districts want to ensure that as we're trying to navigate this, we get onto some kind of uniform platform, because one of the big stressors is these parents saying, I have to learn how to use 5 different apps just to turn in my kids' homework.
Yep. I've heard that a lot.
One of the kids, too, one of the comments was, you know, kids these days, they're very technologically savvy, but that doesn't mean that they're education technology savvy, that we can't expect them to know how to use all of these platforms like they would use Instagram or Facebook or any type of social media.
Right. And it's interesting, because on this online learning, one of the things that seemed to be a common denominator in many of the articles that I read was that these unproductive discussions that Zoom or Google Classroom allows among the students themselves is distracting from the lesson itself, because they have, and then you have that, the fact that they're not in the classroom, so you lose some level of control there as well, which of course all indicates the socialization that goes on within a school class that we didn't used to give enough credit. I think we probably will going forward. But this unproductive distraction nature of the internet being available, shrink that window, the other people, matter of fact, students have been sending other students that aren't supposed to be in the class the links to their class, and there's been some other issues there as well. We haven't done it before, so we haven't developed the self-discipline for it, but kids aren't exactly renowned for self-discipline in the first place.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to kind of set those rules. I know over the summer we offered some online summer groups so that our kids could have that socialization piece, and we were using Zoom, and it is hard to control a group-type setting whenever you're online, but especially whenever you're having, you know, 10 to 15 kids logged on, and we all have different internet speeds. You know, communication, the biggest thing in communication is that nonverbal, and so it's really hard to be able to communicate effectively through those nonverbal cues, our body posture, our facial expressions, being able to ensure that we understand one another. When I might be in a meeting that my coworker who's across the room is also on, but our computers, mine has a 2-second lag and hers is at speed, and so I'm getting the material a little bit slower than she is, and so I can only imagine the kids are having that too, that, you know, while they're learning, they might not be kind of all together at the same time, just based on different factors, and having to kind of turn off that private chat option that students can do during Zoom sessions and things like that to make sure that they're staying focused. My online degree, well, my master's degree was actually in an online setting, and as a 24-year-old, that was hard. I can only imagine how hard it is for these, you know, 12-year-olds just trying to stay engaged in an online class.
And focused, yeah. And the other fact is, and millions upon millions have been spent to bring more broadband, whether federal or state dollars, they keep pouring money into the projects. I don't see that much of a change from my point of view, but where I was living just 3 years ago, internet was a thing, man, you know, didn't really have it. We weren't streaming TV shows. If you wanted to use the internet, it was a phone or a hotspot.
Yeah.
And the fact is, that is an issue. Basically, you take Route 13, you go south, it's an issue.
Yeah, for sure. We've got a lot of kids who, where they live, they can't get internet service, but they can get a hotspot on their phone. But your hotspot is only as good as your phone service.
Right.
And in this area, I live in Williamson County, and even I had Sprint whenever I first started working here. I couldn't access the internet from my home unless I actually had internet service because my phone provider didn't work where I lived, which was just in Carterville. And so we've got these kids who live, you know, in Hardin County and Pope County, and they might not have access to an actual internet provider. And we've had kids say that, you know, mom or dad comes home from work and they drive up the hill in town where they can access the best cell phone reception, and that's when they download their homework.
Yeah. Go to Bay City, Illinois, some of the fastest phone service I've ever seen in my life. Bay City, Pope County. They put a new cell tower out there, Bay County. You can see it from right there by the river. All right. Here's another item. Then I've got two more items for you want to talk about. You know, the idea is that you develop a strategy. You build a classroom arena with little distractions, the things, their own class desk. And a lot of parents have talked to me about this. I've developed a strategy. We've made a plan. And then the school changed what we're doing. There was a lot of frustration, but that strategy is really the central place to live. You've got to have a plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's so hard to have a plan right now. Just in the programs that I work in, a lot of them revolve around providing some type of curriculum or support to students in school, and I feel like every week we are trying to revise what our plan is. We've got plan A through Z of it. Can we do this in person versus how are we going to do this online, to can we deliver this method on paper so that we can count what we're doing with these students. And it's so hard, and especially with the various types of students and learners that we have. Are they visual learners? Are they auditory learners? Are they hands-on learners?
Yeah.
And to try to plan and accommodate ways to meet all of those students, it's so hard. It's like no matter what plan you come up with, you're missing out on some of those kids. And it's really hard to find, especially when a lot of the ways that we teach or we provide services is backed in evidence-based curriculums and courses and materials. And I know at least some of the evidence-based curriculum that I use in my programs, our program developer is just like, well, Fidelity's out the door. You're just going to teach it how you can, because we want to make sure that we reach these students and that they have connections with adults. If they learn the material, great.
Yeah.
But we are more focused on making sure that we have access to these kids and we reach them in whatever capacity that we can. And I feel like that's a lot of what healthcare providers and human service providers and educators are feeling right now is, you know, them learning is super important, but just being able to have that consistent connection with them right now is going to go further and is typically the forefront of what we're trying to do, is make sure how can we access this kid, and then let's develop a plan of how we can provide the material to
and
them.
I think there's a subtext to that. Emily Lind is joining us from Arrowleaf. She's the the youth grant programs coordinator, and that's socialization, the interaction. I mean, when I try to remember being a kid, it's not always as easy as I would like and increasingly difficult, but I do remember difficult days were made much better by the presence of friends. I was lucky at a young age to have very close friends, and still to this day have them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an aspect there that I cherished about my youth, and I realized how important it was for me growing up, those friendships, not having the isolation. And I think that was a subtext from what you were just talking about. Before I let you go, what's your guidance for caregivers, grandma, granddad, mom, dad, whoever it is, taking care of the kids and online learning? What's your guidance, Emily?
Don't be afraid to ask for help. I think a lot of people are experiencing situations they've never had before, and while we may have been able to kind of push through in the past with different hardships, what's going on right now is something that we've never experienced in our lifetime, and especially our society has been so ingrained in this internet fast pace. I've got information at my fingertips, and right now that we're all needing to do that. Some of us don't have access to that. So reach out to the school administrators, reach out to different, you know, the health department, different community service providers, Arrowleaf. We can try to connect families if they are not having, you know, the ability to assist their children in completing their schoolwork right now for any kind of issue. Don't be afraid to ask for help, because there is probably somebody at the school or in your community who can try to connect you to someone or some agency that can give you the resources that you need.